welcome to the Rock Hippie Adventures podcast. My name is Keith.
I'm Mel.
And what is going on, people?
What up?
What's going on? We have had lots of episodes come out. This is like number 36.
Oh, that was high pitched too. I think it's 36. I believe that's right.
Episode 36.
Nice.
That's where we're at, people.
Sweet.
So are you ready?
I'm ready.
What are you ready for?
Everything.
What's everything?
Whatever's going on.
What's going on?
I don't know what is going on.
So we did post an episode that had the band Civilian in it. We talked about it before. If you haven't heard it, go check it out.
And they just celebrated a huge accomplishment on the Spotify. And I reposted it because it's a huge thing. They got 500,000, over 500,000 streams.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So go give them a listen and give them another 500,000.
I'll say that we helped them get there.
Well, I listen to it every day. So
yeah, you really do. I hear something from them playing from you every day.
It's just so damn good. They have something that has, like, their music is so diverse in what they have and their song choices that I feel like I can find a song pretty much every day that has to do with some kind of mood I got going on, which is pretty kind of cool.
That's good.
Yeah.
Their music good. Go check them out. You know, we're going to keep pushing them and hopefully they'll.
They're just good dudes too.
Yeah. You know, good people. Good stuff.
Word.
So we've been thinking about what's coming up on our show moving forward after we finished up talking about the movies from that the University of Rochester study, which was interesting. We want to get into some more stuff that may help your relationship.
Yeah. Kind of exploring some things that potentially could bring you more awareness to your relationship, not only with your significant other or partner, but also other people.
To yourself as well.
Word.
Open your brain up to who you are.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about a couple of different things that you can do. And honestly, it's good conversation pieces.
Yeah.
You know, when you open up and start talking about it, we've talked about it a little bit before on the show here and there, but we've never really dug into any of them in particular. So we're going to start talking about tonight after the break. So stick around for that. But first, we don't get to talk about just like everyday comedy nonsense, bullshit.
No, and not usually.
So we're going to dedicate a little time before the break each week
to stupid shit we find.
You know,
well, not even that.
It's like,
what the fuck is this?
Like, that's what it is. What?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, nobody says it better than,
what the fuck is that?
You know, Cartman. I mean, it doesn't matter who says it.
Holy Jesus. What
That'd be
is
one of
that?
My favorite movies.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah. I mean, what is that?
It's stuff that we've come across within the past week that we're like, what the fuck is this shit?
So this week, I'm minding my own business.
Yeah.
And I get a text and she's like, I sent you something. You got to look at this article. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, it came up in my Facebook feed. I'm starting to get, like, I guess because of my music choices and posting music stuff. Now I'm getting, well, in some of the groups I'm in, I'm starting to get, like, articles now for, like, music stuff. And this is an article that came up in my Facebook feed from Loudwire magazine.
And I love Loudwire. They post really good articles.
Yeah. But this one takes the cake, I think.
Well, I mean, I know they're reacting to it.
They are reacting to it. Yeah, it's funny as shit. So basically, this British tabloid comes out and has said that heavy metal music makes you fat.
What the fuck is that?
And they're comparing it to the complete fucking opposite, which is classical music. Apparently, when you listen to heavy metal music, it makes you want to eat. You want to eat bad food. I don't even know what their research is. I don't even know if they have research.
I think some of it was the fact that
classical music makes you want to not eat. It makes you want to eat less portions.
When I was reading the article where they was kind of describing it, there was this part where it made it sound like that people who listen to classical music, well, there's two ways to look at it. One was that classical music makes you feel all warm and comfortable, like when you're eating a piece of chocolate cake, it makes you feel comfortable and soothed.
Right.
Which, that doesn't do it for me.
So they're saying that classical music replaces chocolate cake? Because I'm thinking not for me.
Right. And then there's a part to where it seems like that if you listen to a certain type of music, you make better choices because it's a smarter music, and heavy metal music is just stupid, so you make stupid choices.
So I'm just going to eat a whole bag of Doritos and,
I'm not going to lie to you. A whole bag of Doritos sounds pretty good right now.
Yeah, and peanut butter. Reese's peanut butter cup sounds good, too. Oh,
yeah. And I ain't had no junk food in forever.
No, we're on week three of no junk food.
But in the sense...
But we're still not listening to no damn classical music up in this piece.
Well, I'm not listening to classical music, but it's just because they say, you know, oh, well, if you listen to heavy metal, you get fat. Of course, Loudwire is like, this is just stupidity, which it is. It kind of based around from a show, Jeremy Vine's show, where they were going around and asking.
Anybody
this
who's
question.
Gone to a metal show will tell you that there's very few fat people. It's usually a bunch of people wearing some skinny ass black t-shirts everywhere, drinking Budweiser. Come on now. Yeah.
I think they
were all
too
drunk to be eaten.
I think they were coming across the idea that large people are attracted, more large people are attracted to heavy music than other musics. And I mean, maybe so, I don't know. But, you know, when I go to a show,
I'm sorry, there's nobody like super big usually.
I mean, you see,
I mean, of course,
you
it's
see
society.
Large people. I mean,
right.
But it is, but it's not like the whole show is full of like, big people like
it takes
moshing.
A lot of energy to get moshing.
Yeah, I mean,
you're burning calories, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's true.
And I'm jumping the whole time. I get sweaty in a fucking show.
Yeah, and I think the funny comment to me was, I think...
Is it more cultured? So, like, you're more likely to, like, sit down and have tea?
Well, I don't know. I think it's just somebody... Because I think Jeremy Vine on Five is some show in Britain that went around asking people that does heavy metal music make you fat. And of course,
but she
came up with the fact that, you know, I listen to pop and R&B and that doesn't make me want to eat a salad. It's like, I don't know a music that you listen to makes you want to eat a salad. I don't know of anything that makes you want to eat a salad, you know, but it's the fact that it's something that, you know, it's just a silly like thing for them. And this tabloid wrote a article based off of that saying, yeah, we believe it does.
Well, and it's British too. So, I mean, what kind of like heavy metal music are they even listening to? I mean, honestly.
What are you talking about?
Are heavy metal music?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. They got some good bangers come out of England, man.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Crooks UK is amazing.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, they got stuff over there and then they listen to ours. I mean, our bands tour England.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Absolutely they do.
But yeah, they listen to heavy stuff. I mean, one of my favorite podcasts, Chew the Metal, is a British.
Yeah, that's right.
Or it's a British podcast. And man, they talk about all the good stuff. So yeah, I mean, they listen to it as well. It's not like they don't, but I'm wondering if.
They just don't seem like a rowdy bunch of people.
Maybe I'm wondering if the scene there looks different than the scene here.
That's what I'm saying.
Because when I think of the scene here, I think a bunch of skinny like emo kids in skinny jeans, you know,
right?
That's the first thing my thought goes to.
Mine
that
does too,
or like
100%
beefcakey dudes that like want to get in a pit because they're
There's
all like steroid up.
Yeah, I mean, honestly,
yeah, I think it's a little more diverse here in the States, but I would love to see the scene in the UK to see what that
they
looks
just don't
like.
Seem like they would be as rowdy, but maybe they are.
I mean,
I
they play rugby
have.
And soccer and they get pretty rowdy true. There. I mean, have you seen those?
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's interesting though.
Thank you, my Mac.
Yeah, but it's very interesting. I just thought it was freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
Don't listen to heavy metal music. Another reason not to listen to heavy metal music, because you're going to get fat. You'll worship the devil. You're only going to wear black and whatever else goes along with the shit that we get for listening to heavy metal music.
And this is what we think.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on?
That's right.
I'd rather be fat listening to that than skinny listening to damn freaking classical music. Don't get me wrong. I would play classical music in my classroom. But it's not like true classical music. It's remakes of songs that the kids know. It's just instrumental.
Yeah.
No Beethoven. There's no Bach up in my room.
You're missing out.
I mean, it's fine. But I'd much rather listen. I love when they cover a Metallica song. Make it instrumental. The kids are like, what's this song? And I'm like, it's freaking Metallica. Not that Metallica was great, but that's just an example. Today it was...
That was the worst example ever.
Okay, I'll give you another one. Today was Smells Like Teen Spirit was instrumental. The kids were like, I know this song. And I was like, yes, your parents taught you right. Good job. Like, they picked it out. I was like, good. Without even the words. So happy with them. Not all the kids, but the cool kids.
The cool kids.
The ones that are like me.
So they're not the cool kids.
Well, they're the cool twins to me.
Anyway, so if you've listened to this, tell us what you think about people saying a certain kind of music makes you a certain kind of weight. I mean, whatever you want to be. You want to be big? Be big. You want to be small? Be small. You want to be healthy? Be healthy. Do whatever you want.
But is your music making you do it?
Yeah. Is it the music? Because I think when I go to the gym, I'm listening to something. I'm listening to a banger.
Yeah, of course you are. Because it hypes you up. It makes you excited and gets your adrenaline going.
Word.
You're not going to sit there and try to lift weights and listen to classical music. I mean, it might work for some folks, but not these two folks.
No, that doesn't work for anybody.
No.
Anyways, we'll be back in a minute and we're going to start talking about a really cool thing called the Enneagram. And we're back, guys and girls. Thanks for sticking around. And
sorry for contributing to your overweightness by playing that heavy metal music.
Yes. Thanks for adding the pennies to the show. We appreciate that. We're going to continue on. And like I said, right before we went out to the break, we're going to talk about Enneagrams or the Enneagram. The Enneagram is a typology system that is used to describe a human personality. They use a number, it's a number system. So
yeah, there's numbers 1 through 9.
Yeah.
Each number is corresponding to some kind of personality trait.
Yeah. And so if you've done things like the Myers-Briggs, there's other personalities tests, but the one that's closest to this that most people know of, because it's been around since, like the 70s.
There's all kinds of things. People use their astrology symbols. You know, I'm an Aries, you're a Leo, whatever those things are. It's the classification way of, you know, somehow putting for people your personality type.
Right.
People know about it and you say, oh, I'm an Aries, then they automatically get an idea of what an Aries is.
I still can't tell you, like, when somebody goes, oh, I'm a Libra, and I'm like,
that's awesome. I only know some of them.
I don't know any of them. I don't even know mine. But I know I'm a Leo.
Yeah, Leo's like prideful. Obviously, it's a lion. Come on.
I don't get it. Loyal. It's hard for me to base off like the zodiac. Like, I was born in a month, so therefore, this is my personality. And I know plenty of people that are born even on the same day as me, and we're completely fucking different. It's like the worst way of like identifying who you are. They're like, oh, you're this and you're that. And I'm like,
I think there's some truth to it. I don't think it's entirely truthful.
I think you could take anybody's zodiac
100%. You
and
could.
Go, oh, well, this is a little bit truthful about you. Because if you're reading it from the point of view of knowing a person, I feel like, okay, so I feel like the zodiac portion of it to identify personality is the worst way. Like, people like are so on the zodiac signs and the horoscopes and things like that. And like, but if you look at something hard enough and read something hard enough with the belief that this ties to you, then you're going to be able to find things in your life that it ties to.
Right. And they're written so vaguely that you can apply anything that's being said to it to your situation.
Is there truth to it? Maybe. Yes. I don't know. I'm not a full subscriber to, you know, my horoscope says this, so this is me.
Do you feel like this is more truthful, the Enneagrams or the Myers-Briggs?
Well, I do in a sense, because you're literally answering. Now, okay, let me caveat that by saying, if you do these personalities tests, whether it's Myers-Briggs or Enneagram, the two we're talking about right now, if you do it with honest, open thoughtfulness and do it without thinking about it too hard,
like your gut instinct.
Okay, this is my gut instinct. This is what I would do in this situation. Not thinking, well, do I do this sometimes? Do I do this? And figure out where it lies, because it's not like I do this and I do this. It's more like I do the, okay, so let's just say every time I see a wall, I see it black, right?
Right.
I strongly disagree. I strongly agree. And then there's three dots in the middle that brings it to neutral. Mm-hmm. So you go, neutral, or I strongly disagree, or it's one here or there. Where you put your dot or your check on that scale is kind of how it rates you, Enneagram and Myers-Briggs in both senses. So I feel like those are more accurate.
Because you have input as far as what your personality is like, where astrology is just like, here's how you're supposed to be because you're born during that time period.
Yeah, this moon and this setting at this time of the year, at this time of the day, and this month, all brings it to say, this is you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a sun bearer, Leo, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, that's great and all, but does that really describe who I am? Does that give me a self-awareness of who I am? And no, I don't think it does.
Some of the traits may be truthful for you. I mean, yeah, it may apply to you, but I think that there's also a lot that may not apply. But this, most I feel it, like the Enneagram and the Myers-Briggs, like you're saying,
yeah,
has more validity to it. At least it's more tailored towards you because you're right, at least having input in this process.
So it's not like this, that we're going to talk about the Enneagram tonight. It's not like it's like fully scientific and psychologists use it a lot, but there seems to be a lot of validity moving forward in its
use.
It's
super popular right now.
Well, it is very popular. And I think personality tests, there's going to be a new one coming out, but the concept of the Enneagram has been around for a long, long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Super long time.
I am hating the new Mac right now.
All it does is bing, bing.
It doesn't matter what you do to a Mac.
What the fuck was that?
I'm yeah, kidding. Pretty much. To get it to stop throwing notifications your way, even if you turn them all off, still it'll find a way to ding.
Yeah, it's fine.
But anyways, so for example here, like in a Myers-Briggs, and we may talk about that next week, we may not, just depends on how we feel, but you have like a four-letter description of who you are, like I am a ENFJ.
So, and shockingly, I am a
ENFJ. So it's like extrovert and sensing and judging and all perceiving, all those letters mean something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether you're introvert, extrovert, those all mean something that describes your personality. And through those letters and the way, and not just because you have the letter E, but are you the letter E on a full scale or half a scale?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it 50% extrovert, 70% extrovert? Which way does your dot lean on that? Because Myers-Briggs is the same way. So here for the Enneagram, there's 9 numbers, 1 through 9, like we said, going from 1 to 9 in that order: reformer, helper, achiever, individualist, investigator, loyalist, enthusiast, and challenger. And the peacemaker is number 9. So we're not going to go into depth tonight about each one and what they mean and how it ties together. And if we do, great, but I don't think we're going to get into that depth.
No, we'll probably
tonight.
Just talk about our point, which would be nicer if we talk about it next week and have people, you know, kind of tune in and maybe you've taken an Enneagram test at that point.
We'll, if you listen to this, go and take the Enneagram test.
Yeah, we'll post one in our description.
Yep. We'll have the link. We'll post the link in the description so you can go to it, the one I think we used.
Well, and I think also, too, with these, like, every time I take this or every time I take the Myers-Briggs, I always get the same result. It's never different.
Well, and
like, every time I answer it,
yeah,
I'm answering the same way. Now, my percentages might be a little different because I might have hit, like, 1 over or something like that, depending upon how you feel that day, but every time I've taken it, it's always the same.
Well, and that's something that comes down to why people are using the Enneagram now, because they feel like the Myers-Briggs is too simple. They feel like it's just, you know, it's like a Facebook quiz. Like, you know, you take your Facebook quiz, what Disney princess are you? And, oh, you're Ariel, or which Star Wars character you are. I better be fucking Darth Maul every time, or Vader. But here's my thing, okay?
But you can also skew the answers to get that,
well,
though.
Well, no, and I agree, because I remember taking, like, the Facebook test, like, which Star Wars character you? I knew how to answer to get Vader every time.
Sure.
Like, in my brain, I could fake that test if I wanted to. But see, here's where the Myers-Briggs and the Enneagram come in, and well, the Myers-Briggs is a little bit different in the sense that they say every time you take it, if you retest, like, some time away, depending on where you're at in your life,
and your personality changes. I could see that. Not personality, but an instance of how you handle some situations could
potentially
change with
growth. I think if you take it today and you're an extrovert, and you take it 6 months from today and you're introvert, some drastic psychological changes happened to your life, or you just don't know how to do that test.
No, I think that one stays more the same. I could see where the Enneagram would change, though. A little bit. Through, like, growth and working on yourself, I could see where you could end up somewhere else.
Because
some of the traits in mine that are not very good traits of me, if I worked on those things, they would no longer be, I would no longer be a two.
Right. But my thing is that if you are, okay, so let's take mine, for example. I'm a 5. I'm an investigator. So some of the highlights of it is that I'm innovative and highly perceptive. What?
Yours is completely true about you.
Smart and logical and like to think deeply about things.
100%.
What? Quiet and thoughtfulness. Yes. That I don't believe.
You're quiet. Are you kidding me? Quiet in your thoughts and you think a lot. Come on now. Not thoughtfulness like giving people gifts. That's thoughtfulness like in your thoughts. You're heady.
Objective and logical.
100%.
I'll give you that. Detached and unemotional.
That's true.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that. So let's just say detached and unemotional is a bad thing, right? Let's just say that's a negative trait for some people.
I mean, kind of is, a little bit.
Do you think that actually changes in you, or you learn how to mask it in a way that it's not really, that you try to overcome it, but you're still that way? You're just finding a better way to live your life.
Like, maybe.
I'm detached and unemotional all the time. I've always been that way, but yet I figure out how to make it work so others around me.
Well, that's just you being perceptive and being able, I guess I see your point. Yeah, you're inherently that way.
I'm inherently that way.
But you've learned ways to be able to manage it. So it's not just being off.
So let's just say if one of your highlights being negative is that you're a murderer, like, or you have homicidal tendencies. I know that's not one of them, but let's just throw it out there, right?
Okay.
But we know it's not a good trait to have.
Well, clearly.
Right. So you would find ways to not do it, but inherently you're a homicidal maniac. Okay. That's terrible.
That was a terrible example. You're still going to kill people, but you're too. You like to help them.
Yeah, right. But that's what I'm saying. It's like if you look at those traits, that's who you are deep down, even though I don't think.
Yeah, because I think I couldn't change some of the things about me as a two. I just think I'm inherently that way.
Right. So
you I can be more cautious about it. So I'm like not getting walked all over.
So here's my thing, right? I think when you do a personality test on the Enneagram side, now the Myers-Briggs, I think, is more of a logical type of explanation.
Yeah,
of who
I think
you
it's
are.
More like thinking. It's more like how you analyze things. And
well,
more
it's how you act in situations. It's how you react to stress. It's there's another one that I'm going to find out what it is. And we'll talk about that at some later point because I don't have the
information. Well, they mentioned one called the Big Five. I've never heard of that one before. We'll have to look at that one.
So. But with the Myers-Briggs, I feel like that's more along the lines of, I mean, corporations use it. So it's more businessy. Yeah,
use it for your roommates in college.
Yeah. So with the Enneagram, where I think it's good to use, you can use it in corporate situations. It's more based to your personality of your relationship to you, yourself, to you and your relationship, and to you and maybe your spirituality or whatever there. I mean, it takes it. So, but what I was going to say is that when it comes to something like this, Myers-Briggs, a little less than Enneagram, but when you look at yours and go, that's not me, but everybody around you says, yes, that is you, that shows you that those things are inherent in you because other people see that trait in you. So, like I say, I'm detached and unemotional. I was like, am I really? And then everybody around me goes, yes, you are. And I'm like, huh. So there's some truth to that, saying that people can see that trait in me. But here's my question. Can I take a generic trait like innovative and highly perceptive? How many people not a five will carry that trait?
I mean, there's people who do, of course.
Is it because, is that the reason where you go to like, the, and also the Enneagram means you can be like I could be a five.
I think I'm highly perceptive, but that I'm not a five.
Right, but you could be like a five W.
Oh, yeah, there's three. Wings. Yeah, there's
so,
wings.
So, like, there's wings, which I don't have one. When I took mine, I was a complete five.
I don't remember what mine was. Yeah. But see, I had a wing, but I don't remember what it was. I probably need to take it again and just to look.
So, I took mine,
say seven, but I'm not
mine
sure.
Was a complete five. No sway, no wing.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So, I'm like, bam, right there on it. Of course, that's how I would be, right? But But the thing is when you look at the Enneagram and you think about, you know, your personality. So it's a different way of looking at your personality. I think it gives you a better understanding of who you are. Like it's trying to give you a better sense of self-awareness.
Yeah, I think it's perfect. Like I think honestly, it gives you your like good. I think it gives you a little bit of everything. It gives you your good sides and it gives you some weaknesses that you have as well, which I think is quite interesting. Because the Myers-Briggs only tells you what you are. It doesn't tell you what your weaknesses are. Like, what are things that, you know, things that you could work on.
If you dig into the Myers-Briggs, like, when you get your personality or when you
Well, yeah, because it'll say you're da-da-da-da, but at times you could be da-da-da-da, whatever the thing is. I mean, it will say that. But I think that this is more inherently like, okay, for instance, I'm a two. Which means that I'm a helper, which means I'm a giving person, and that sometimes we get walked on because we do too much.
Right.
And so to me, that's a negative trait. Like, it's great to help people, but it also means I have zero boundaries and I have a really hard time setting boundaries. So that is something I would, and I do now even,
right,
investigate and look at ways of trying to figure out how to do that.
Right.
Because I'm so concerned about people being upset with me that I end up not doing things that I need to do for myself because of that.
Right. So if...
So that is a weakness. I mean, that is something I would work on. I wouldn't outright pick that out of me to say that that's something I would need to work on. But through this, I would figure that out that oh gosh, you know what? I do that. And it does cause me anxiety.
So in that sense, if you want to understand, they kind of gather the information by like asking you questions that kind of characterizes what dominant behaviors, what dominant fears, what dominant motivations you have. And then they link those to a certain group of traits, mm-hmm. which they, of course, invest into one number or the other. I think when we talked about how people change in personality, at the root, your base personality, your basic personality doesn't change. But I think there are some behaviors of your personality that may change. But I think that's environmental situations, changes in lifestyles, maybe how healthy you are, things like that. Your mental health may be. But I think at the base level, like the very base level, it stays the same.
Enneagrams can change, though. I did read that.
If you're an asshole.
Well, it depends on how much growth you do. Like, I could end up not being a two and being something else if I completely started just shutting people out.
Yeah, but you would be shutting people out because you would force yourself to do that.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that you change about you, but that's not who you are. That's what I get at.
I see what you're saying.
I don't want to be a giver anymore because I'm tired of people walking all over me. But you're still a giver at heart because you're going to find yourself, you're just going to turn off a select group of people because those people walk all over you, but you're still going to be that natural giver. See, I'm not a giver either way. I don't give to this person. I don't give to that person. I don't care how I feel.
Yeah.
You know, I'm detached from most situations and I have to physically put myself, like, okay, so for example, I go into work. I've always been the person going to work in the morning. I'm grumpy. I'm not grumpy just because I'm grumpy, but mornings are just not my personality time of the day. I am terrible in the mornings. My brain doesn't function well in the morning. I take a long time to get going. It's not just like, oh, I need my coffee and I'm good. No, it's not like that. I have to physically and mentally prepare for a morning.
Yeah, if your morning started at 10:30, you'd be golden.
Right. There's something about my biological makeup that makes me feel better after
circadian rhythms.
After 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm good. But because I want to make a change with the people around me to foster a different type of work environment.
Yeah, but you still grumpy bastard.
Yeah, I still don't like the mornings.
Right.
But
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
But I still go in like, okay, so I go in the morning. I go in actually earlier right now than I need to, just so there's nobody in the office. There's nobody around me. Yeah,
that's probably been a good mental change for you, hasn't it?
Well, but I'm also going a little bit. So I was going in at 7:30. Now I go in at 7. Right. But I'm trying to leave early enough where I can get there 10 minutes before 7 because there is nobody there.
Yeah, and just get your thoughts.
So that 10 minutes, I can go in, I can log into my computer, I can put my food in, I can start eating my breakfast, I have my first cup of coffee already down, I've gone through a few emails. So that early morning, like, just angst is kind of going away. So nice. That gives me, but what I'm doing is I'm physically and mentally preparing or changing my natural state.
Gotcha.
So that when people start coming in, I'm trying to foster a different environment at our office to bridge a gap between two divisions. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm doing.
Good for you.
Knowing how I am, my personality, knowing, being self-aware of who I am, I know there are certain things I do. So there's this one lady, Julie, she's got a few grandkids. We talk about grandkids. Mm-hmm. So every morning, as soon as she gets in, I'll go by, stick my head over a cubicle, going, hey. But I do that because I am trying to force myself out of that normal, quote unquote, grumpiness, mm-hmm. morning grumpiness. and be different. So now I make rounds in the morning with my cup of coffee. Hey, how are you doing? What's up, brother? How are you? Hey, you know, and doing that somehow changes my perception of who I am in those moments. So now instead of being a little soggy, wet noodle in the morning and and nobody wants to be around me, to be a little bit more lively, that's anti who I am, but it's beneficial to all those around me. So that is, I think, when we talk about Enneagrams, like I'm using in my workplace as an example, understanding who I am in that sense, my personality, whether it's an Enneagram, a Myers-Briggs, or whatever personality test there may be, when you get that, you can, you're not changing your personality, you're changing the actions and behaviors of your personality, which is a baseline of cognitive behavior therapy, which I've been through because of my mental illnesses. And they tell you, if you're in a situation that's a negative or it's becoming negative or putting negative out, you can change one of three things. You can change your thoughts, you can change your behaviors, or you can change your actions. So in my state, I try to change my behavior and action in those moments to have a different outcome.
Yeah.
Because if you start a day good, I realize this, even though this sounds cheesy, if you can find a way to start a day on a positive note, no matter how shitty it is, it's going to make the day, the day's outcome better, even if you have a hard day. I have hard days every day. They're stressful, lots of work, but just that,
your thoughts and your actions aren't compounding it.
Just that little bit in the morning takes away from me. I don't want to be here. It's too early. I'm tired. I want to be back in bed. Oh, hey, how are you doing? Let's talk for a second. Hey, how you, you know, it changes the mindset of your emotional status.
Sure. Absolutely.
So it's a good thing. And think of, now moving into the relationship side of it, think about if you can understand who you are, like this is your personality. So we're using an Enneagram. So here's my personality. I'm detached and unemotional. Is that a good trait to have in a relationship?
No, but you are.
But is it a good trait to have in a relationship? No. Mm-mm. But I am. That's who I am as a person. Can I change who I am as a person? No, because I'm always going to be that way. But can I make certain actions and behaviors and even my thoughts, can I change those things to reflect a different outcome? Okay, so I know I'm detached and I know I'm an unemotional person. What can I do to change that? Just do little things. Hey, you know, I may be detached, but let's have a conversation. When conversations be helpful. Or when you're up, you do something for somebody. Like, hey, you want a cup of coffee? I'm getting a cup of coffee. Hey, I'm doing, you know, I come home and cook. I know it sounds stupid. It sounds like you're getting into more like love languages where you're doing acts of service, but
no, it's engagement. I mean, if you're detached, you're trying to engage.
Right.
So that's the opposite of what that is.
And even though it's a,
I don't think you can change your unemotionalness though. You're just not an emotional person.
Well, no, I'm not.
But I don't think that's a bad thing. But see, on the flip side of that, the fact that you are not emotional and I am overly emotional.
You speak the truth, girl.
That there's a balance there.
There is a balance.
Do you know what I'm saying? So it's not a bad thing. If we were both overly emotional, this would not work the way that it does.
No, it probably
would. Do you
know what I mean? No, and I agree.
Though that, and this is spinning it, I mean, though that it sounds like a negative connotation for our relationship, it works beautifully because I'm the opposite of that way. I'm always attached. Attached a lot. And I'm completely over-emotional.
Yeah.
I run hot. I run, I mean, like, you know, I'm quick to hit those emotions where you're not. So I feel like the vibe that you give off in many instances is calming to me.
Yeah.
Even though it's unemotional, it actually brings me back down, calms my ass to where I need to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's helpful. And then on the flip side, because I'm emotional and fucking nuts half the damn time doing shit, I bring out that side of you in some degree. I make you laugh about stupid shit I do. So, I mean, in those cases, you know what I mean? It's works for us the way that it is, but it makes me understand you. So I don't take it personally when you're quiet. I don't take it personally when you seem disengaged in something.
Yeah.
Because I understand that that's your personality and how you are.
Well, and I think that's why it's good to do these things, whether it's your Myers-Briggs or Enneagram or any type of personality test with your significant other, because you may find something in a human being that you might like everything about them, but there's this one thing and you can't understand why they keep doing it, even though you hate it and you tell them you hate it.
Absolutely.
And it's like, hey, let's figure out who we are as people. Let's be self-aware. And then we can discuss that self-awareness with each other and become relationally aware that, hey, now Now I can go out and say, you know, my birthday came around and, you know, for an example, and it wasn't a big thing to you, but yet to me, it's a huge thing. Well, that's the, for like me, that's how it is I'm a little detached about that. I'm a little thoughtless on that.
Yeah.
But now that, you know why I am like that. Yeah. I know that's a big thing for you. So there's a change made to say that I'm going to do these things to be more respectful and caring about that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, I'm only going to go so far because I'm really pushing the boundaries of how I deal with those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I hate, like some people hate holidays, certain holidays, like because they're just terrible holidays. But I hate holidays because I have to figure out how to react to those things in holidays. Like Mother's Day, man, not that I don't love my mom. I love my mom. But it's like, it's a chore to do things. Birthdays, it's a mm-hmm. chore. Like, I just think every day is a day. Like, when Father's Day's coming around and my kids get me something, that's great. I'm glad they did. I love the fact that they appreciate me to do that. But I don't expect them to do it. I don't actually, if they didn't do anything.
I got.
But if they didn't do anything, it wouldn't bother me because it is a day. Okay, so here's my thing about holidays, right?
Yeah.
It's a day somebody made up to get recognition.
Yeah, it's a Hallmark holiday. I know.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what it is. It's a day. Somebody said, let's give moms things. We're going to give them a thing. And I think, why the fuck aren't we thanking them every day? Why aren't we treating them good every day? And you know, because every day's every day. You know, well, so here's one day we can just honor them. Birthdays, don't get me started. You were born, you're here, and you're going to die.
Babe, it's a birthday. I love birthdays.
I know you love birthdays, but to me, it's just another day.
It's a day for me of reflection, though. I like to think about like where I've gone in the last year.
I have no cares about my birthday.
No, I know you don't.
Like,
we just started dating right when your birthday happened.
Yeah, and I'm like.
And I was like all geeked up for your birthday. I'm like, I don't fucking care about the birthday.
Yeah, like people at work don't know my birthday. Like, I don't. But that's the detached part. I don't want people making a big deal about nothing.
Yeah, it is. It's unemotional. You're not emotionally tied to the holidays, and that's understandable.
Absolutely
not. And I'm completely emotionally tied to them. You are.
Like, I love Halloween. Now, I love Halloween.
But that's also my two side of me, because I also want it. Like, I enjoy going to buy gifts. I enjoy getting them something that means something to somebody. Yeah. Like, that to me brings me joy.
No, I love buying people gifts.
Yeah.
Like, because that's cool. Like, I want to be able to get people stuff because they can't get it for themselves.
Yeah.
But just arbitrarily buying stuff because it's a certain day seems weird. I think we should just do it because that's what we do.
Yeah, I am.
You know, not because, oh, it's your birthday. Now I'm obligated to buy you something.
Well, now I buy people stuff whenever I feel like
it. Yeah, I know. But that's what I'm saying. That's how I feel about that.
Yeah, if I see something cute, like I bought, you know, my friend Jen something, and I was like, oh, I just saw this and it reminded me of you.
Rabbit trail, but.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, but when you get to that part of a self-awareness of your partner,
yeah,
then you can understand why it works and it doesn't work. Because sometimes you may have to do that to go, okay, this won't work because these personalities just don't mix.
Well, and I'm thinking as you're talking, so you and I both did the Myers-Briggs when we first started dating. Yeah. And obviously we have the same letters and all of those things. But honestly, until we did the Enneagram, did I better understand you? I think I took for granted thinking that we're so much alike when we're not.
We're not.
Like the Myers-Briggs makes us look like we should be fucking cookie cutter of each other.
But we're not. But that's the great thing.
But
we're not.
But that's why I felt like the Enneagram goes that one step further.
Well, and like I said,
gives you more information.
Yeah.
And I feel like I understand you even better now after us having done this not too long ago.
Myers-Briggs is a simple way to gauge basic personality traits.
Yeah, but to me, this is how you deal with people.
Yeah, and
this is more of like,
and I know there's
how
another
to
one.
Handle people. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, this is to see a more root emotional level.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. But like, this makes more sense to me. Like when you found out you were five and we were reading the characteristics of a five, I was like, holy shit, this all makes sense. It was like all of a sudden the light bulb went off and I was like, damn, he really is a five. And now that I know what that means, I better understand you. It's been helpful, honestly.
Well, and I think, like I said, it's if a person can answer it honestly, not dig into overthinking it, then they're going to get a good value.
See, I'm still
of
shocked by mine. I still don't think I'm a two, but you say inherently I am. I just don't think that's me.
All right, well, let's just look at the highlights. Generous and people pleasing. Yes,
I'm a
you are.
Pleaser.
You are. Like, I keep telling you, like, there's times you come in and you're like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, why do you do it then? Like, it drives you insane that you do, but you do it every time. Because it's not that you want people to like you, but you are generous and caring and giving. So therefore, you want people to be happy. You are a people pleaser because you want to see people happy.
I need to learn how to say no then.
Well, you need to learn how to say no, but that's also what makes you who you are. Has a strong desire to be loved. Yes. Sometimes denying their own needs in order to make others happy. I just said it. Mm. Like, like you want to be loved, but you try so hard to make other people feel loved that you realize that those people just aren't going to love you.
Yeah.
Puts a lot of energy into their relationships, but this sometimes is interpreted
as neediness.
It can be.
Yeah.
But because me and you had good long discussions about who we are, I know it's not neediness. I know it's just you because you're very intense about your relationships. You want everything in a relationship to be right and to work and the quality time and all those things. So when you're not getting that from somebody in a relationship, you tend to overdo it.
No, I don't think I do.
But see, really? Looking from the outside in, not all relationships, but there are the relationships you want the most, you will go overboard in those relationships. Not for me and you, because now we're in a different place in our life.
I think I've gotten better at that, though.
You've gotten better, but there's still times when I see it shine through.
Then you need to tell me when that is.
Oh, I will.
That's what I'm working on the most.
Yeah, I will. You're genuine, of course. You are. You listen well. You're a good listener. You tend to overlook your own needs. And yes, you do. You tend to do that. You're better at it now because it's not. Okay, so here's the thing. That's your inherent trait. You are a person who will overlook your own needs. But because you see how it's devastating to you in a negative way, you made changes. So I thought a cool thing was is when I was reading some stuff that you had sent me, that one of the things, and I'm going to explain this part of saying you have an inherent trait. You see how it affects you negatively and you're trying to make changes to be better than that. Yes. Or trying to work it in a way that it doesn't affect you negatively and makes everybody around you better as well. So I was reading this one part where it says,
oh yeah, this is interesting,
where it was asking the difference between an emotionally and spiritually healthy leader and an unhealthy one is the difference between awesome and awful. So I mean, like, they're night and day. So they say that Martin Luther King Jr., who we all know who that is, and Joseph Stalin, if you don't know who that is, please go look them up, were both eights on the Enneagram. Okay.
Wow.
Same Enneagram, completely different legacies.
Yeah, 100%.
Completely different. We're not going to say complete. They're completely different people in the sense of how they live their lives, right? But they're both eights. Okay. You can be a person who sparks change, fights for freedom, or you can be a person who commits like crazy ass genocide.
Massive genocide.
Right.
Yeah, so the difference is their emotional and their spiritual health.
Right. So
that was the difference.
Right. So one, and let's just say this, maybe they didn't know what their Enneagrams were, but the way they acted inside their personalities and carried that was the difference between them two, even though they were both eights. And people's like, well, that's crazy. You know, it's like saying Hitler and Gandhi are two. Yeah. You know? But at the end of the day, what you're seeing is two people who have the same personality used it. Dr. King understood himself in a different way than Stalin understood himself. They were also raised in different environments, so how they portrayed or how they came about their personalities and used their personalities at the end of the day was also driven by what they wanted out of life. Mm-hmm. One wanted power and monopoly, and the other wanted, you know, freedom.
Equality and freedom.
Right. So where you see that, The eight is a challenger. So Dr. King challenged things in a way for betterment. Stalin challenged things in a way that bettered himself or bettered what he wanted.
Yeah.
So it's just how you're like, you can't be spiritually mature and be emotionally immature, vice versa. To match spirituality and emotions together, you have to be mature in both. And you can't be mature, period, unless you actually become emotionally mature. Those things, like emotional maturity is something that you really have to strive at, because that is what's going to change how you interact with people
with your inherent
intelligence. We talk about that often.
Yeah, with your personality traits.
Yeah.
Like, I'm detached and emotional, right? Detached and unemotional. But because I'm emotionally mature.
Yeah, and emotionally intelligent.
I know how to handle myself in situations that would be a negative thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard sometimes. I want to walk out of rooms and detach myself and remove myself from things and avoid things. But at the same time, I'm doing things to counteract that.
Yeah. Same. Getting there. The work in progress.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, you know, when we're looking at just the Enneagram and the overall, like, concept of it, without getting too deep into it today, which we're going all over the place.
Not really.
Yeah. Some people think that it's too general. Like, the biggest criticism for the Enneagrams is that it's just too general. That's like, it's more like horoscopes.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and they also said, and I don't entirely agree with this, that it's super general and that you could basically make anything that they say about you. I don't think it's as horoscopy as they are making it to be.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people who've spent a great deal of time, like, really in looking at each of these numbers and this personality types, like, in depth, to where, like, there's like 20 different characteristics on some of these. And I'm like, you're putting 20 on there? That's not general. Like, I don't think what's said about you is general. I don't think I couldn't apply that to myself. I'm not detached and unemotional. I don't think that I could really say any of that. I mean, some of it is, sure. Like, you know, but everybody has glimmers of those things. But that's inherently who you are.
Yeah, and I think also it doesn't really matter, like, how vague or precise people think. Like, whether it's your horoscope, whether it's the Myers-Briggs, whether it's the Enneagram. I think what... And looking at these three things, what they do is they label a person. I think people, human beings, in a sense, need some type of label. That's why we have names. We can identify ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we, you know, sounds stupid, but why we have social security numbers, it identifies you.
Yeah.
These things identify your personality. So, like you say, if people know Enneagrams and they go, hey, I'm a five, they go, oh.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you know, so you're da-da-da.
So
it gives them insight on how to handle you or how, what to expect from you as a personality trait.
You know, oh, I'm an ENFJ. You know, oh, okay. And it's funny because I was reading through this article too, and it's like, oh, I'm a Libra. Oh, I'm an INFJ. And I was like, almost.
Yeah.
But it's those types of things that lead people to go, okay, it's one identifier I can use. That
it just brings it's understanding not a negative, of people.
Yeah, it's not negative. So it may be vague in general in some aspects, but I think if you're honest with yourself and you're honest when you take these tests, that you're going to get maybe an accurate portrait of your personality.
Well, I laugh about it now because I'll do something and be like, God, I'm such a freaking two. Like, I'll do something and I do. Like, I say in my mind, I'm like, well, I know why I did that because I'm a two. Like, sometimes I'm like, what the fuck did I just do that for?
Mm-hmm.
Or why am I feeling this way? I'm like, damn it, I'm a two. Like, it just, it makes me laugh because now I honestly, like, relate to it more. Like, instead of me being, I'm an Aries and I got a fiery personality and I'm quick to be angry or whatever the case is, I actually relate more to this part. I also feel like this is a little bit nicer, like a little bit more gentle personality thing, you know what I mean? So it's a little bit more like relatable to people and how you handle people. Like, I wish I knew what everybody at work was, or I wish I knew what all my friends were.
Yeah.
It'd make a lot more sense of why they act or why they do what they do.
Yeah. And it, again, I think it's good to start conversations. I think these should be more of like, this is who I am. I'm a five. Yeah. I'm detached and unemotional. It should be more like, okay, this is the test I took. It says I'm a five. Okay, let me talk to somebody that knows me.
Yeah.
So you open a conversation up. And then those conversations open other conversations up. And what I think what this is instead of just saying, hey, I'm identifying as this, I'm identifying as an ENFJ, I'm identifying as a Leo, I'm identifying as an Enneagram five.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm actually doing is saying, hey, this is what these things are telling me about myself. What do I need to see in that?
Yeah.
Okay, this is what these things are telling me about myself. Okay, so what these things tell me about my significant other? Well, let's talk about that. All right, so these two, let's say these two fives and twos are in a relationship, how do those people interact?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we'll get more into the relationships of what relationships work best with what numbers next week. And maybe we'll talk a little bit more in depth of each number. So if you take this, maybe shoot us a DM, a Instagram comment, Facebook. Yeah.
Have you and your partner do it. And then we'll kind of dig into some of these if you want us to.
Yeah. Shoot us an email over at Rock.
And we're not experts at this. We're new at this.
No, but the thing is,
I find it fascinating.
We're not experts at anything, but what we like to do is have conversations. We have conversations that on this show that we have between us, because this is a podcast that we kind of center our podcast around relationship stuff. You know, we do all kinds of crazy shit. We talk about movies, we talk about music, we'll talk about hiking, but it revolves around our relationship. And we have conversations outside of our podcast between each other that we end up having on this show.
Yeah.
And we do this show so you can listen and have conversations on your own. Because we feel, even though we're not experts, we're not psychologists or doctors or anything that consider us experts in the field of relationships, what we do know is we've been in relationships, and we're in relationships, and we're living it and working it every day. So maybe, and what we want people to do is to have real conversations with their significant other, because we feel that when you have conversations, like I'll use myself as an example. Even in my first marriage, me and my ex-wife, we had conversations there, even though maybe the communication wasn't good at first or in the middle of the marriage. But when we became, especially myself, became more emotionally mature, more emotionally intelligent, was able to have real conversations in a more meaningful way where the communication was good, we realized, oh, this isn't for us.
Yeah.
You know, let's figure this out so we don't waste our lives, one, but two, don't ruin each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we understood each other in a sense to have those conversations.
Yeah.
Me and Mel have conversations in our relationship, which enhance our relationship. So we know what's coming. We know how to deal with things. We know what to do. But we want to foster conversations, whether you're in a bad relationship, a good relationship, a mediocre relationship, to enhance your relationship into a way that betters you and your partner's life, whether it's together, whether it's apart. That's up to you. But fostering communication is one of the things we want to do. Fostering conversations is a thing we want to do.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time.
So what we talk about on this show is not saying, hey, here's an expert, this is what you need to understand about it. No, man, you got Google. Go Google it. Read it.
No, this is actual conversations that we have, like sitting around just shooting the shit with each other.
But there may be things that you hear here that you haven't heard before, or maybe something you come across like, oh, they,
or even if it gives you an idea of something that you want to try or something that you're willing to like look at or explore with your partner. Like if this is something that opens up a conversation between the two of you by taking some damn Enneagram test, well, and then you find out something about your partner, I mean, you never know.
I'll equate it to like what I've discovered at work in the past couple of days. Something one of my partner at work, person I work with the most, we were talking today, we were training a new hire,
mm-hmm.
and we were showing him things in the system.
Sure.
So she's been at the company for like 8 years. I've been there almost 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. So there's this little crazy button called full screen in an edit box. So you got this little bitty box and this big screen of all these boxes. And there's a lot of stuff you type in this box.
Mm-hmm.
She's been there for 8 years, right? This little button's been there for 8 years.
Yeah.
But never knew that you could hit that button and enlarge that screen so you could have a bigger screen to type in. So you weren't typing this little box and having to scroll up and down to see everything. Something like that.
Yeah.
Like she's been there. She's an expert in what she does there.
Yeah.
But because somebody else had talked about it, she goes, hold on a second, you can do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right there. She goes, I can't believe I never saw that.
Like, shit, where were you 5 years ago?
It was also like, you attach, like, there's this thing in there where we attach documents from the server folder to this web-based application. Sure. So you can only attach one at a time, but she thought you could only attach one per card. You can attach as many as you want, up to 60 megs per card, right?
Yeah.
So she, and not that she learned it today, but it wasn't too long ago she did. In that sense, though she's an expert in a company, she knows that system very well, you can still hear things and learn things or find new way to do things by listening to other people that may not be experts in something that you're an expert in. There may be plenty of psychologists out there that can tell you all kinds of things about relationship and dating advice, but there's going to be a couple who sit down and talk on a podcast somewhere, whether it's our podcast or maybe go listen to We Were on a Break podcast, because that's a really good place to listen mm-hmm. to stuff. And you'll hear things there and you go, oh, crap, that's just like us. Or, oh, that's really interesting. And it will enhance, you know, what you're doing in your relationship because it will foster a conversation.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, hell, we just went through and did the whole movie thing based on that University of Rochester study. We don't have an issue in our relationship, but we thought it was interesting enough and worthwhile enough. And then what did we end up doing? Talking about our own damn relationship.
Yeah, it brings, anytime you can discover stuff to enhance yourself, especially if you can enhance your emotional intelligence, you can enhance your personality in a sense of making it more positive to be around, then yeah, absolutely do those things. And we hope we're able to help in that sense. We're going to kind of finish up the show tonight. But next week we'll probably do one more show dedicated to the Enneagrams and then we'll move on to some other things. But, please, if you listen to the show this week, go to the link in the description for the personality test for the Enneagrams. It'll be at the bottom, wherever you're at, Spotify, Apple, you know, Breaker, Anchor. And if you really can't hit it, go to www.rockhippieadventures.com. Go to the podcast page, go to episode 36, and you will find the link there if you're anywhere else. You can get it on your mobile, you can get it on your PC, all the places that you can get to an internet browser and you can get to it. You'll find those there. It's a pretty simple test. It'll take you it can take you anywhere from like, I think 10 to 20 minutes, depending on how fast you are.
We did the long version of it, which I thought was better actually. Cause it, you know, it really, the more questions you ask, the better it is.
It gives more insight.
Yeah.
So go and do it. Drop us a comment, drop us something on, in the podcast section.
Yeah, I'm going to throw out something on Instagram to have people, if once they do take it, if they want to share what they are.
Yeah.
And your other significant others or partners or whatever, let us know.
Tell us what you think about it. Tell us if you think it's a hoax, if it's stupid, if it's good. And we'll talk about that next week as well.
Yeah.
So remember, you can hit us up at Rock Hippie Adventures for our Instagram. It's our Facebook. You can get us at rockhippieadventures@gmail.com if you want to shoot us an email. We're not as good as the Music for the Messes and the Whack Brackets where you can send it at anything, but maybe one day. Anyways, maybe one day. But also, we're not on the Twitter that much, but if you happen to hit us up on a Twitter and we see it.
Might be days later, but we'll eventually see it.
Or just go over to the YouTube channel and comment on any video you want.
Yep.
We'll find it there too.
Yeah.
We just want you to watch the videos.
Silly ass.
Anyways, we appreciate you taking the time to listen to us today. We hope that you learned something from us today, and maybe you'll go and have a conversation with your significant other, friend, work partner, teammate.
Yeah, anybody.
Anybody, and foster a better environment for your personality to be understood. And always remember that in everything you do, whether you take an Enneagram test or you're sleeping heavily,
you're listening to heavy metal music and getting fat.
That's right. Live life loud and bold.
And don't forget, mediocrity is not an option for us, and it should not be for you.
Peace.
Laters.